Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock opportunities in your business or portfolio. Hello, and welcome to another episode of M2I Alternative Investments Chat. We are your hosts. I'm Erin, and this is Erica.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be talking about Generation X and how alternative investments play a part into diversifying their portfolio, or rather can play a part into diversifying their portfolio.
Yeah. So first, we need to fully understand who falls in this category of Generation X. So Generation X, or Gen Xers, is used to describe the generation that is born between 1965 and 1980. Although there are a few sources that have those dates a little bit different. But that seems to be, throughout my research, that seems to be the main one right there. And they come right after the baby boomers, and then right before the best generation there is, the millennials.
Oh, yeah. Widely regarded as the best generation. 100%.
I will go down saying that forever.
So members of Gen X, which, you know, I'm talking a little bit out of left field here because I did not experience this. However, my mother does tell me a lot about this. And from like research, and there's a lot of background that Gen X grew up in a time when single parent households were typical. And children often returned home to an empty house where the parents were still at work. And this is where the term latchkey kids comes into play. My mom likes to tell me all the time that she was a latchkey kid. And I'm like, that's not something to brag about. But anyway, like, you came home and nobody was there. Doesn't sound very cool, but
doesn't sound very safe.
Yeah, sure.
Well, with helicopter parents these days, I could never.
It's very different.
It is. And I was on the cusp of, because I would consider myself a latchkey kid as well. My parents both worked during the day when I came home. We had very, very strict rules, you know, even to, like, the telephone had to ring 10 times before we could answer it. That was like
the code
that it was a parent calling. But, like, we had chores and homework and stuff to take care of. And we weren't home by ourselves for, like, extended periods of time. It was just, you know, they were still at work and we got off of school. So it we look at it now and are like, we could never do that. There's too much danger.
Different time.
Completely different times. Yeah. So they also were the first generation to grow up with cable television widely available. So in 1981 is when MTV rolled out. For anybody who's listening, MTV was a channel that used to stream only music videos 24 hours. I believe the catchphrase is, I want my MTV. Yeah. I was never allowed to watch it. Actually, my parents thought it was, you know, was a little too risque for us kids. Yeah. But it was so widely watched that actually Generation X was nicknamed the MTV generation. I always thought that was hilarious. But I would sneak watching MTV at the very late nights when I thought my parents weren't paying attention. But I know they were. They're geniuses. Right? Aren't all parents geniuses?
Yeah, they know more than we think.
Yeah, of course.
And a little bit more about the experience of Gen Xers. They experienced some shaky economic times throughout the majority of their young lives. And they saw college tuition rates soar, which put many into debt, forcing them to move back in with their parents. And this coined the term boomerang kids, which means you leave and then you come right back. Which I actually think that this has continued today. Lots of kids move back in with their parents now, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, depends. But this is the first time that we're seeing that, kids leaving and actually coming back into the family home. And they were unemployed or underemployed statistically. And they were also the first generation whose members were not financially better off than their parents. Because typically, prior to this, we saw statistically, on average, each generation was better off than their generation before.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is your goal. If you're a parent, you know, you want to set your kid up in the best way you can to continue to secure their own economic future, which, and hopefully they're making more money than you because you have built that bridge for them to stand upon the hard work that you've done. And this is the time that we're seeing that, oh, that didn't exactly work out the way that it always had or typically had before.
Yeah.
So that's obviously has led to some certain personality traits about Gen Xers. Yeah. But it explains a lot, you know, having that experience. With those things in mind, let's turn it over to why Gen Xers are looking into alternative investments.
Yeah. So they were shaped by a 25-year burst and boom cycle growing up. So Gen Xers, especially the investors, they've seen a lot, a lot. So in 2000, while most Gen Xers were in their 20s, they got their first real lesson in investing when the tech bubble burst, also known as the dot-com bust. So what happened during that time is interest rates were super low. And so there were a lot of startup companies taking on money, and then they weren't, all of their projects were falling through, and people that were invested in them, they lost all their money because they couldn't see the project come to fruition and be profitable. So that happened in their 20s. Then in their 30s, another hard lesson was learned from the global financial crisis. So thanks to subprime mortgage rates. targeting lower income homebuyers and excessively risky behavior by banks and financial industries. In fact, we saw Lehman Brothers actually go bankrupt. And that kind of set everything into motion, causing the financial crisis. So they had to watch that again.
2008.
That was in 2008, and they're in their mid-30s. Like, could you imagine? And then they've experienced just repeated significant blows to their earning power and their financial confidence.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, too, being in your 30s, a lot of these folks had families and kids and different commitments. I know, you know, being a young child during that time, I know my parents were horribly stressed. I know that most adults that I knew were horribly stressed during that time. So, yeah, definitely can build some trauma there.
Yeah,
not even saying that lightly. Like, that's really stressful.
Yeah, and it was, you know, like you mentioned earlier about them not being better off. Like, we were so used to watching people work the same job for 25, 30 years, retire and play golf, and be completely fine.
Be comfortable, yeah.
Exactly, and we're not seeing that anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Well, Gen Xers now are entering the pre-retiree phase of planning with some turning 60 in 2025.
My mom and my dad, sorry to call
they find themselves sandwiched between financial pressures of supporting their kids and caring for elderly parents. I'm definitely seeing this now. My parents are lucky in the sense that all of me and my sisters are adults now, but, you know, my grandmother is in decline on my mother's side. And, you know, I know that, of course, you know, it's only time before my grandparents on my father's side also enter the, you know, later stages of their life where they will need some assistance. So, and that's very, very costly.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And individuals have become more cautious about speculative investments, and day trading of individual stocks makes total sense. If you had invested during one of those times where the economy wasn't doing so hot, I don't think you'd have great trust for it.
What is it? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Shame on you, shame on me is twice.
Twice, yeah.
The first time you didn't know. Second time you did know.
Well, now they're entering a third time and they're going, no, thank you.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
Exactly. So their focus has moved away from big short-term wins and moved towards building a more resilient and balanced investment portfolio, which should be the goal of everybody. And wealth management has become more about building long-term plan to manage risk and weather economic storms effectively. Mm. And for these reasons, Generation X is diversifying its portfolios with alternative investments, along with old school or traditional stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds.
Yeah, when I was doing this research, I thought this was really interesting statistics. So 1 in 4, so that's roughly about 28%, of Generation X have purchased cryptocurrency. Mm. They make up 24% of total home buyers in recent years. And they're also most likely the generation to own additional properties for investments and vacation purposes. Like, you know, they might not be these huge mansions, but they're buying these smaller properties. And then now they're seeing that they can make a little bit of passive income by renting them or Airbnb-ing them or taking advantage of them themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
And then nearly 1 in 5 adults, so it's roughly like 19%, are also in the process of founding a business or have done so in the past 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And many plan to use this business equity as a form of retirement income. They're seeing that like they can do part-time jobs or part-time things or create something, make a little bit of money without having to work, you know, 9 to 5 for the rest of their lives, but they're still getting that income. So I thought those statistics were really cool. So as we're thinking about retirement, let's discuss some of the alternative investments in that retirement space.
Yeah, definitely. So Gen Xers who are approaching their 50s and 60s know it's now or never in terms of retirement.
Yeah.
Planning for retirement and saving for retirement is obviously done best early, but sometimes life doesn't always shake out that way.
I think we once said it should start right out the womb.
Yeah.
Sure. In one of our other episodes.
It should start your retirement fund.
Exactly.
But now's the time, as obviously time is getting short. So an Investopedia study found that while this generation is generally confident about handling day-to-day finances, financial future and retirement is a primary concern and is not so clear for a lot of people in this generation.
Yeah.
In this study, more than half of Gen Xers have some sort of investment portfolio, about 59%, and a plan to draw retirement income from a mix of traditional sources like Social Security, 401ks, Roth IRAs, and their portfolio mix of stocks and fixed income.
That's crazy. So financial planning for and the retirement saving strategies their parents relied on are no longer working for today. Again, I said, you know, most people work the same job, 25, 30 years, retired. Like, that's not the case these days. In fact, we're seeing a lot of people go back to school at 40 plus years old, start a new job at 50, you know, and a lot of them are working into the later years.
Yes.
Because again, we have longer lifespans, the cost of living is rising. And then, you know, so when you're planning for retirement, it really requires like a more modern approach because we have to take all of these things into account when we're doing this. So as the markets fluctuate and technology transforms, the old rules are out the window.
Sure.
They're gone. So many Gen Xers are increasingly turning to those alternative investments as part of their retirement strategy. Mm-hmm. So let's just go over a few of those. And again, we had another episode strictly on retirement. Mm-hmm. That's what we said, you need to start saving right out the womb.
Yeah.
So let's just go a little bit deeper into those.
Sure, yeah. So first off, we can talk about real estate. You kind of mentioned this earlier, but rental properties can help generate passive income, which is a great way for you to supplement your Social Security or continue to pad your income. And you can physically own the property or you can invest in REITs, real estate investment trusts. If you want to learn more about REITs, we have an episode in which we talk about that, so you can dive into that. And this is a more hands-off approach. Individuals don't directly own the property, but they do still profit off of it. But it's more of like a share as opposed to you owning the property. You have to take care of repairs. You have to manage it, all of those things. And there's also impact investing, which we dive in deeper in another episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainable and ESG investing has become more and more popular, not just among Gen Xers, but other younger investors as well. But they are increasingly wanting to invest in impact or ESG investments that align with their own values and makes them more excited about investing, makes them feel like they're doing good when they're investing as well.
So I want to leave the planet better.
Yeah, totally.
than it is right now. So.
Definitely. Yeah. And if you think about these people too, a lot of people in this generation have children. So it would make sense that you would want to invest in the future if you're thinking about a world for your kids as they continue to grow. There's also private debt, which is investing in private debt funds. And this can lend capital to companies or individuals who might not qualify for traditional bank loans.
Yeah.
These funds often offer higher returns than traditional asset classes, which can be very attractive, but they can come with risk, of course. Mm-hmm. How can Gen X balance the risk and reward of alternatives? How can they do that?
Yeah, so balancing the risk and reward with alternative investments is very, very crucial. So alternative investments, like you mentioned, can offer higher returns and diversification, but it comes with an increase like complexity when it comes to like being liquid or even that just that plain risk factor. So here are a few different strategies that we found to help investors. So you want to spread your investments. I think in a previous episode, we make a joke about don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah,
and unless you want to make, you know, really good breakfast. Because when they all crack, like that's all you're going to have is breakfast. So don't just pick one type of alternative investment to put all your money into. Make sure your portfolio should include some high risk, high reward assets. And then there should also be some of those lower risk in there as well. So just, you know, evener out.
Definitely. And balanced with traditional
exactly.
Investments as well.
Exactly. So you want to consider liquidity needs always. So many alternative investments are illiquid, meaning they can't be easily converted into cash. We talk about selling the bottles of wine at 2 a.m. Like that's just not a thing. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that your portfolio fits what you're wanting. If you need something to get out of quickly, alternatives specific alternatives yeah. might not be the route to go, but there are tons. There's tons. So Gen Xers should consider how much liquidity they need as they approach retirement. Like especially, you know, right now where you and I, like we might not need that liquidity factor, but as we continue to go down life's path, mm-hmm. God willing, we're going to need to make sure that we have available that cash flow. Yeah. So what are some other strategies?
Yeah. So your most favorite risk assessments and research.
Research.
Yeah. Very important. You want to make sure you're understanding your investments, period.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the person that knows every single detail about your investment portfolio, but I would recommend having somebody who does, a wealth advisor, and also, you know, generally understanding your portfolio. You might not know all of the rules and regulations, but if you have somebody who can provide you with professional or legal advice, that is imperative.
Yeah.
That person can help you evaluate the risks, conduct due diligence, and overall make sure that your assets fit into your financial plan and it works for you.
Yeah. Remember, they have that fiduciary responsibility for you to make good decisions.
Right.
So that always is a plus because it's not just them saying, well, this is going to get me the most money, so I think you should invest in it. That's not what they're here to do. So always remember that. But again, I think seeking professional help is always the route to go.
Definitely.
And they can always, you know, I love research, but I know a lot of people don't, and they might not want to do that due diligence. So making sure that you have somebody in your corner to assist in that.
Definitely. Super helpful. Also, you'll want to make sure that you're continuously monitoring your portfolio and adjusting when necessary. You should make sure that your portfolio is working for you, which means checking in on it.
Yes.
And if something is not working for you or you're uncomfortable, maybe there is a investment that is too risky for you and it's making you uncomfortable, you're not liking how it's fitting into your portfolio, you should change that. You
yep.
don't have to stick with the exact investment portfolio that you start with. You could continue to change and adjust as time goes on. And maybe your needs shift as well and you need to adjust your portfolio to reflect those current needs.
Yeah.
And you should rebalance it with other things that make you feel more comfortable and that are in line with your long-term goals and help you get there faster.
I love that.
And also know your exit strategy.
That's a good one.
Yep. Know when you should exit or how to exit and when it's time to sell. That's super important. Again, if you're working with a wealth advisor, this is someone who can help you know when to do those things.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're never tied into a corner. You can always leave if you want to. So don't feel like you've committed and you have to stick with what you have. You can always change your mind and make different decisions.
Yeah, because you want to ensure, you know, just because you started it, like you said, doesn't mean you have to stay there. But every alt has a different path.
Yeah.
So there's the extra strategies are different for every single one. So again, having that professional help can help lead you down the right path, because you, like you said, you don't want to get yourself stuck into a corner.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you have money, but it's not available. And that's even a worse feeling.
Sure.
I feel like then you're like, I have it. I swear. I just can't touch it.
Yeah.
You know, behind that glass, I swear.
Yeah.
So really making sure that you're, again, doing all that research to ensure that you fully understand your investments.
Definitely.
So with that, there's a few takeaways from this. Diversification is always key.
Definitely.
Gen X is diversifying their portfolios with alternative investments to balance that risk and reward.
Yeah.
We want to continue to always preach that about diversification. Incorporating alternative investments into retirement portfolios helps Gen Xers create wealth and maintain financial control. Again, they've seen a lot of stuff already, so they want to make sure that they have control of it.
Definitely.
And then balancing growth with security. Gen X is focused on investments that offer growth while protecting their wealth as they transition into that wonderful retirement stage.
Yes. Well, that is our episode for today. Thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are pre-retirees, we wish you lots of golf and maybe some Mai Tais.
Beach time activities.
In your retirement. And we hope that you tune in for our next episode. If you enjoyed what we had to talk about here today, please hit subscribe and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode. And don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with MTY. See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.